B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
Proud with Coach Ray and Bear Reed.
New England, the Patriots and we.
Thanks for football in January.
New England, the Patriots and we.
We'll run through the win for a big team.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv, search the Sports Hub. You can get the Twitch app, or you can get the 98.5 the Sports Hub app. Listen to us on 98.5thesportshub.com. So many options for your listening and watching pleasure. We'll talk about last night's game, obviously. Talk about the Celtics. Lots of things to do today in terms of those two things. The Patriots looked good last night. Obviously, the Celtics played well. They had the Emmys with the Schitt's Creek running the table over there. You had... Bad Education, outstanding TV movie, which is a show that I've been very supportive of.
What is that? I'd never heard of that.
It's a British TV show about a young teacher that has a class, and the class picks on him.
Isn't that Head of the Class? Wasn't that show already made? Where's Arvid?
It's terrible. It's a British TV ripoff. No, Bad Education is very good. Very good show. You know, not everything can be so original. And by the way, Head of the Class, Howard Hessman, was, he was like an old hippie that didn't want to be there, but, you know, he had some things to teach, and the kids obviously learned, you know. So this guy is a helpless teacher. He's not a good teacher. But
I only watched the Billy Connolly years. Come on.
Yeah, that was, I mean, talk about jumping the shark. Billy Connolly, you can't hold the Hessman sack, if you know what I'm saying. But nonetheless, what a weekend. I have to tell you, being in Dorchester at 7 o'clock in the morning at a field with no fence for a baseball game is something else. Something else.
What do you mean a field with no fence?
There was no outfield fence. And then if you happen to be driving by the field, you got a nice ball. Anything that was fouled off to the first base side was hitting cars. So if you were driving by there and going to the bathroom, if you have to urinate in Dorchester on a Saturday morning, not easy. Not an easy place to do so. Because I'm getting these... urges to pee that are overwhelming. Like, it gets caught, like, all through my urethra. Like, I just have to pee so very badly. And trying to drive home at, you know, 11:30 in the morning and navigating the people that are walking around can be a frustrating and daunting task when you urgently have to use the bathroom. And my daughter constantly telling me to pull over to places, but they don't have bathrooms. Everywhere you go to, the gas station doesn't have a bathroom. The Dunkin' Donuts doesn't have a bathroom. Not good. But if you've not lived your life until you've been to Dorchester at 7 o'clock in the morning for a doubleheader at a field with no fence.
So are there any kids, I take it that's for Milo, are there any kids on his team that could clear the fence, like that are good enough hitters to do that?
Oh, yeah.
So what's the rule?
If you hit one, Milo was pitching the first game, and if he gave up a sharp line drive that got through the outfield, and it went up like up a concrete ramp and then over and what do you have you?
Yeah, so what's the rule? Is there a home run?
There were no rules.
Two hops, it hits the concrete, it's a triple.
I didn't understand what was happening. There was like no rules. It was. And then Milo's like, did I pitch poorly? And I'm like, I don't know. How the hell would I know? You gave up a ground ball that got through, and then next thing you know, it's an inside the park home run. Like, I don't know.
Next thing you know, you're on 90.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't even know if the kid got the ball. Like, it just went away. And so, yes, it was. It was. I don't really know what was going on. It didn't seem to be the most professionally run situation, considering I'm paying for it too. It was excellent, but they had a big pickup basketball game. Not pickup, but they had like a big basketball thing happening at the court up there with the announcer, and different teams were lining up and trying to get in, and there were coaches and people were yelling at the coaches. It was festive in Dorchester, and these were older people. I don't know if they were high schoolers or what the deal was, but there were people, it appeared, from Lynn. There were people from Dorchester. It was a whole happening. Mm-hmm. You know what it reminded me of? The Fresh Prince in DJ Jazzy Jeff's song, Summertime.
Oh.
You know, food was out, there was sort of a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick up, you know, and make them run. You know, they were up there. It was, you know, what time is it? They hadn't been on the court yet.
Mm-hmm.
There were all kinds of people hustling the ball to get a short set, you know, and there were girls there. I can't lie to you. So it was a whole thing. It was a whimsy.
All right. Summertime is a legitimately great song. Huh? Like that's a really good song.
It's a good song.
Yep.
It's a good song, and it's a good video too.
I don't remember the video. Oh,
there's a lot to it. They're
sitting in the back of a car.
But you don't know if they're in the back of a car. Well, no, because
it looks like a flatbed with the camera angle up at them.
They're in a flatbed. Okay. There's no doubt they're on a flatbed.
But it's slow moving. It's like, hey, take it easy. We don't need to go anywhere quick.
Nope.
They're letting the Alpine blast. Come on, you gotta go slow.
Exactly.
Yeah. You put on their CD and you let it run around. I mean, every car was on cruise.
Mm-hmm.
If cruise is -1 mile an hour. all I got to say is keep your eyes open when driving around Dorchester on a Saturday morning.
Two questions for you. One, because, how cold was it?
People will pop out of nowhere. It was cold, and then the sun came out, and so you had to position yourself in the sun.
Okay.
So you would warm yourself, yes.
Sure. And the other one is, you keep telling you had to go to the bathroom a ton. Is this a fallout of the sobriety, or is this something else entirely?
I didn't have to go to the bathroom a lot. It's just when I got in I had to go to the bathroom pretty much the whole time, and I didn't want to get arrested in Dorchester for public urination on a, you know, public park.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once I got in the car and I had kind of committed to that, it got to be incredibly urgent. And and everywhere I stopped was either locked or they said they didn't have a bathroom. So I stopped at probably about three places.
They didn't have the porta potties out there at the field?
I'd say, you know, it's a COVID casualty, the porta potties. They don't have them. You get the COVID. And I just assumed not to, I guess, have a porta. I would have used the porta potty, as a matter of fact. I guess I would have. It was that big a deal. But I don't know what the deal. I had to get out of the car at one point at a red light to like stand up to jiggle because I had to pee so bad.
Oh boy!
Yeah, the act of being seated in my car was putting intense pressure on my bladder.
So, how close were you to here?
20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Not anywhere close. Okay.
No, no. And then, so my daughter ran and helped me. She ran and opened the door and to my house and everything was
it was a mission at that point. Yes. All right, you've got the schematics laid out. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pull in. You're gonna jump out the right side. I want you to beat me to the front door. Open it up so there's nothing blocking me between me and the toilet. And Milo, you go in when she opens the door and open up the bathroom door so it's completely unimpeded. I'll have my pants halfway down by the time I'm past the couch in the living room, and then we're all set. And that's one of those where you just land on it. It's like one motion.
Right.
The pants are already almost all the way off, and you just fall onto the toilet.
Well, it was pee, but I peed and then walked away and then peed again. Because that's the way things are now. they're double P's.
You walked away for how long?
A minute.
Whoa.
And then, because I guess my bladder filled up, and then there was no more room in it. And then when that pee, I don't know how bladders work. And then when the pee came out, everything rushed back into the bladder. I don't know. God help me if I have a prostate problem, because that means I got to get the exam, which I don't want. But it was, I mean, there was no leakage or anything, but it's just like this incredible urgency to pee. And every time I go to an AA meeting, they're outside, I have to pee. So I have to go into the woods and pee. So I don't know what's going on. It's obviously mental, but I guess it's better than the Rhea. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Oh, always better than the Rhea.
Always, always better than the Rhea. Always, always. Well, last night you saw a Patriots team that played well in against a very, very good team. You saw Cam Newton look good. There's some, I guess I'm surprised, but there are some people that are upset about the last play call, to which I would say if you have almost an automatic repertoire in that situation, you would go to that. But nonetheless, it was a loss. And, of course, the Celtics take game two. A lot of controversy on Twitter about the importance of, what? Game three.
Game three.
Sorry.
Game three. That's right.
And then, you know, there's a lot of backstabbing and shouting on Twitter about if Hayward had anything to do with that. There's a lot of people that think so and a lot of people that think no. So, and then if you're me, what a 1 o'clock hour of football yesterday. Just fantastic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So we'll talk about all of that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recap me what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Oh, yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, the Patriots lost last night.
They did, but, man, what a game. Things couldn't have started much better for the Patriots to begin things.
With a first and 10, Wilson from the gun. Back to his right with a play fake to Carson. He settles
go,
in with time to throw across the middle. Tipped and intercepted by Devin McCourty. Running down the right side. Clear to the end zone. A pick six and a touchdown. Patriots!
That's a great start for this defense on the road. Set the tone on the first series.
Oh, that pick six right there, courtesy of Russell Wilson, or as his coolest friends call him,
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. What was that again?
It's Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, nerd. World's coolest guy.
Yeah.
Jesus, but he was, other than that, amazing last night. Just a 7-point gift to start things off for the Patriot, which is a good thing because Mr. Unlimited was about to start playing like the future MVP.
Wilson identifies, takes the snap, drops back. Russell Wilson has time to load up, throws deep down the right side, an open receiver, and the pass is caught at the 5 by Metcalf, who high steps into the end zone. Gilmore tried to close ground at the last second. Metcalf makes the reception, and the Seahawks are back on the board.
What a throw. What a throw. This ball brought down raindrops. It was thrown so high.
I mean, to make a pass that perfect and have the defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, just seem helpless, was special.
Gilmore was abused all day and all night and physically dominated. I mean, just pushed around, intimidated.
This is a problem the first 2 weeks. I mean, he's the defensive player of the year, and when you have Ryan Fitzpatrick targeting you, That's not good. And, of course, Russell Wilson's one of the best two or three quarterbacks on the planet. I mean, he's not getting a lot of respect for a guy who got such a big award last year.
Well, obviously, Seattle is a very physical team, and they run on intimidation. But to have a receiver just beat you into submission is
getting
a little concerning.
Too. That's the other part of it.
Oh, he got in his head. He did that by being completely physical and knocking him around, physically knocking him around, and Yeah, Gilmore is a bad number one corner
if
right
you
now.
If you are the defensive player of the year, if you win that award, you should be treated like Darrell Revis, you know, or Deion Sanders or whoever. I mean, you should be able to take one half of the field away.
I thought the same thing because they were talking about, and then they showed a picture of him jumping with his shirt off, and I was like, oh, my God, Metcalf. I mean, he's just like a freak. But they were talking about how big and strong and fast he was, and then I was thinking the same thing as you, John. I thought, well, Darrell Revis had to face Randy Moss. I mean, these guys.
You should take a half of the field away, and it's not happening. Fans, quarterbacks and teams, at least so far, Miami and Seattle, are treating Gilmore like just any other cornerback. Yeah. That's bad.
Well, Russell Wilson just continued to make great play after great play last night, including this one, which, again, I don't know how many quarterbacks can do this.
Second down and three. Wilson takes the shotgun snap from the 38 of the Patriots. Under pressure by Guy. Loads up. There's a long ball left, and the pass is caught by the backpedaling Moore over the pylon. It's a touchdown for Seattle.
I don't know how Wilson got this ball in because there is no room to fade the receiver to the sideline, to the boundary. I mean, you can't have better coverage than Jason McCourty has on him. Left foot in, right foot, it's the pylon. He got the right foot in the end zone. What a catch.
Just a crazy catch. One foot in, the other one hits a pylon, which the only thing I never understood, if the pylon is out of bounds, then why is touching the pylon considered inbounds?
Doesn't matter. You hit that, you're in. Now, I got to tell you this, Rich. Not anyone can just do that. Only one person can do that.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, not everyone else is unlimited, or else we'd all be limited in our unlimited abilities. Yeah.
You have to live unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
He was hanging out with Jaleel White after the game. It was an exciting scene.
So fast forward to the fourth quarter where the Patriots go down 35-23 with 4.5 minutes to go. That's when Cam Newton 2020 started doing Cam Newton 2015 things. Take it away, Cam.
Newton joined by Johnson behind him in the backfield. Cam has rushed for a score and thrown for a score. Johnson now shifts to his left. Newton takes the snap. He runs it to the left. Cam Newton is in for the touchdown, his second of the night.
It's a big boy drive, Cam.
Respond to the Seattle score. They still have life out in the Great Northwest.
That's right. A quick surgical drive down the field brought the game within five with just over 2 minutes left. Patriots get a stop thanks to a dumb Pete Carroll typical play calling. I don't understand why he did that on third down. But either way, it's Cam once again with the ball in his hands down five with the game on the line. And one guy he had been counting on all game came through once again.
First and 10 for the Pats. Ball at the 31. Newton with trips to the right. One receiver left. Burkhead to his left as well. Four-man rush coming for Seattle. Shotgun snap. Newton in the pocket. Has time. Surveys the defense. Yes. Fires out to the left. Edelman catches inside the 15 along the sideline. Tackled by Wagner.
Man, it only took two games, but Cam Newton has helped Edelman set a single game record for receiving yards with 179. His previous high was 151 yards. On top of that, Cam was unreal. He threw for 397 yards. He's thrown for more yards in a game exactly twice before, and he hasn't done it since 2011. But with 3 seconds left, on the 2-yard line, with the game in the balance, it wasn't a passing play it was called. It was this one.
Come on, O-line.
3 seconds to go. First and goal to go. Newton has Izzo to his right in the backfield. Johnson behind him. Newton from the pistol. Two tight ends left, two to the right. Johnson shifts to his left hip. Snaps to Newton. Nope. He's going to run it left. He's hit behind the line, and he somersaults to the two. The Seahawks celebrate as they stop Newton for a loss on the run. And Seattle will win it over the Patriots 35-30.
Man, does that stink.
Yep, Cam gets stuffed. The game is over. But, man, the legend of Cam, the Patriot, has begun. And I'm with you, Fred. I don't think that that was a horrible call. Maybe you could have put a couple receivers out there just to kind of decoy it a little bit. But
on his second touchdown of the game, the Collinsworth and Michaels were talking about how you couldn't stop it. Just like, what are you going to do? You can't stop it. I mean, it's almost a given. So and by the way, if he would have thrown an incomplete pass, we would have all been in hysterics.
You don't throw the football.
You should have run it. Look what you've been doing.
The only thing you might have changed was the formation. Put an extra receiver in there to at least give the illusion that you might throw it. It was the exact same formation they ran before, just to the opposite side.
But I would say this, is that they would say, it's up to our guys to be able to block in that situation. We have a guy who's the size... What is he, 6'5", 260 or something? We have with a fullback in front of him, and we can, you got to score there.
And someone on the left side of the line got beat.
Yes. You have to win your block. You have to be able to push there, and they did it.
No trouble. I'm with you guys. I have no trouble with the play.
If they run that play 10 times, what do they score, 7 out of 10 times?
At least.
And you know what? And once again, watching it in slow-mo, if he would have just kept going to the left, he would have been right in the end zone. A little too early, but...
You know who would have scored there?
That would have been...
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's Mr. Unlimited. Tell him.
Because he would have had more of a... He could have pump faked and everyone would have bought it.
Well, Bill Belichick was asked about not calling timeout at the end of the fourth, and he liked that question a lot.
Was there a thought at all to take a timeout after the long play to Julian there at the end?
Seattle took a timeout. I mean, what are you talking about?
I think clock ran down from 36 seconds to 13 after the 18-yard completion to Edelman.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Go home and get your shine box.
Well, no, he should have called a timeout. That's him not being able to take it.
I don't think he should have called a timeout. I think that you got him. I mean, you had the final play.
Yeah, but you get two shots down there. I mean, if you're going to run it, then you got another shot at it.
I know, but as it is, Seattle took a timeout to stop the clock anyway.
They took a timeout with 5 seconds left on the play clock or something like that. I mean, come on. Seattle took the timeout. I don't think they should have taken a timeout, but they took a timeout. Yeah. But that was not a... But that was... That was, didn't save him any time.
Was it a ridiculous question? No, but ultimately, I don't think it would have mattered.
It was a good question. Of course it would have mattered. They would have had another shot at the goal line.
Okay. You're right.
They wouldn't have.
They would have had one more play.
Would have been 15 seconds left on the clock.
They would have had one more play.
They could have even clocked it. They didn't even have to call a timeout there. They should have clocked the ball or they should have called a timeout, obviously. That's not a bad question. Belichick effed up. He effed up. How can you look at me and say he didn't F up? He mismanaged the clock.
I'm not looking at you like anything.
No, but you're like, well, what could have happened? Well, they could have had more than one chance.
They would have had an extra play, yes.
Right, which is good. Because we just said probably 7 out of 10, if not more times, they score on that play. Run the play twice.
Well, Cam Newton was asked about that play at the very end.
It was a great play by them. That's a play we had favored in the game plan. We ran it a couple times. We figured, this thing probably went to the well too many times. But at the end of the day, Seth felt confident about it. We just got to execute. And I could have bounced it, looking at the clip. I just got to be better. Just got to be better here at the end.
So two thoughts after watching that game. First of all, if Cam is already that good after only two games with barely a preseason and only knowing these guys since, July? I mean, get ready for something special. That was awesome. For him to be this good that quick is awesome.
Double-edged, because people are going to have film of the Patriots, but continue.
Sure. And number two, how many GMs and coaches with mediocre quarterbacks are watching that game last night and thinking, I can't believe we passed on this guy for nothing?
I'm trying to think... Who, going into the season, had a situation, Miami, but
the
I'm thinking...
The Bears, arguably.
The Bears.
Even though Trubisky's,
No, Trubisky, he's great. All right, so Buffalo, no. Miami, maybe. Patriots have them. Jets, no.
Carolina
Cowboys,
could use
no.
them.
Hang on, I'm just going through the teams. Dallas, no. Giants, no. Philadelphia, no. Washington is a mess. Baltimore, no. Cincinnati, no. Cleveland, no. Pittsburgh, no. Chicago, yeah. Detroit, no. Green Bay, no. Minnesota, no. Houston, no. Indianapolis, no. Jacksonville got Minshew. Tennessee, no. Atlanta, no. Carolina, I guess.
Well, I mean, Carolina.
New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Denver, Kansas City, Vegas. Could have probably used them. Los Angeles, no. Arizona, no. Rams, no. San Francisco, no. Seattle, no. So there wasn't really a lot of...
Not even Miami. Miami wouldn't have taken
Okay, fine. Okay, fair enough. I was trying to be No, I understand. But
so there's not a lot of teams where he would have fit in.
But
so.
I saw this. Listen to this. Just put things in perspective. I saw somebody put this up yesterday, and it's true. He goes, some of the quarterbacks who signed deals for more guaranteed money than Cam Newton this offseason. Andy Dalton, Blaine Gabbert, Brett Hundley, Colt McCoy, Jeff Driscoll, Chase Daniel, Marcus Mariota, Case Keenum, A.J. McCarron, Chad Heady, Matt Schaub, Matt Barkley, and Nathan Effin Peterman.
Nathan
all
Peterman.
Signed for more money. Yep.
Yeah. Nathan Peterman's going to be here this weekend.
Kevin, I like your what it says you're going to talk about. I got to be honest. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, just quickly, Wallach and Rich. How can you not be upset that he didn't call that timeout? Listen, I know you guys, Rich and Wallach, you guys are basketball guys. You don't really know your football.
Oh!
He had a chance at the end zone, period. Whether it was with a half a second left, a second, they would have had one more chance. Go back to basketball. Fred, good to have you back.
Oh, yeah. Go back to basketball.
Ultimately, though, the bottom line from last night's game, here's what I took from last night's game. The problems with the Patriots aren't on offense. The problems with the Patriots are on defense. They didn't.
And I can't believe we're saying that.
Well, it's true. If other teams keep treating Gilmore the way they're treating him, that's bad.
Yeah,
the worry was about the front seven coming into the game. I didn't think the pass rush was that bad, but
whatever.
It's whatever it is.
You know what?
But the offense can get. You were talking about getting tape on Cam Newton. What the Patriots showed last night is they can move the ball any which way.
They can't move the ball by running.
I think they moved the ball fine by running.
They had
last
67
week.
Running yards.
I know.
Rushing yards. Miami sucks.
They also fell behind and had to throw the ball a ton in the second half.
They have had trouble running the ball with the person carrying it's not Cam Newton. Miami sucks. I mean, I don't know if you saw any of Miami yesterday, but they're terrible.
They got 28 points yesterday. They weren't horrendous. Mm. They were right there at the end.
Mm. They were right there. 31-28
they lost.
They were right there at the end, and you know what happened?
I guess they vaunted Buffalo defense.
And they allowed Josh Allen to throw for 400 yards.
Well, we all know Josh Allen's good. I don't know what your problem is.
Well, he's a lot better than some quarterbacks. But I'll tell you this, is that they allowed him to throw for 400 yards, and they were right back into the game. They were ahead, I believe. And then they let Allen come down and win the game. Miami's a crap defense. Crap. You let Josh Allen throw for 400 yards. And by the way, he throws to one guy, essentially.
This is the guy. This is a breakout year, Fred. This is the year he finally completes 60% of his passes.
Good. Because, by the way, yeah, it shows what some other teams know.
Obviously.
Josh Allen's better than Mayfield and Darnold.
Obviously, he's not great or hasn't been in the past.
Miami's
run defense was not good. But I think the Patriots can now move the football both ways. They can pass and run.
Okay.
It's not a gimmick offense. That's my point.
We'll see. Rich, what are we going to talk about?
All right. Well, we'll get to some of the post-game comments from these guys. And also, let's talk a little Celtics. That was an interesting game on Saturday. Maybe one that turned the series in a different direction.
All right. We'll have all that. Here are the headlines from Captain Basketball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Goal to go. Cam takes a snap. He hesitates and then he runs it left. This time he's in. No doubt. Touchdown Patriots. Newton on his feet gives New England the lead.
I said it last week. This guy's a man.
Who is the man? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, there was a talk after the game, maybe a little bit?
Yes. By the way, I think the most poignant tweet of the night came from, of course, Magic Johnson, when he tweeted after the game, and I quote, "Cam Newton came up short on the goal line." End tweet. Thank you for saying what needed to be said, Magic. Thank you. Well, he's got a way of putting things in perspective.
Magic on football is even better than magic on basketball. It's fantastic.
Oh, he's the best. Oh, and I think like the next tweet was like, "That's why I love football." All right, appreciate it there, Magic Johnson. But unfortunately, the day did begin on a sad note when it was announced that James White's father had died in a car accident in Florida. His mother was also in the car, and she's in critical condition. Now, White's father, his name is Tyrone. He was a captain with the Miami-Dade Police Department. Now, James, he didn't play, but reportedly flew home with the team. And after the game, this was actually a pretty cool moment. Russell Wilson, who was an ex-teammate of his in college, said this about James White after the game.
First of all, Michelle, my heart's heavy, you know, because one of my teammates, James White, you know, from Wisconsin, one of the nicest guys, teammates, one of the hardest workers, one of the best people I know, had a tough one, you know, losing his dad. I'm not sure what the situation with his mom yet. My heart's been heavy all day thinking about him. Obviously, the game was the game. This year has been a tough year just as a whole, and a lot of people that we know and people just going through so much. But, James, I'm praying for you, man, if you can hear me.
That was cool of him to do that afterwards. That was during his on-field interview that he did with, I believe it was Michelle Tafoya afterwards. So next up, you got Gruden coming to town. The Raiders play at Gillette next Sunday. And obviously you can hear that right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That should be a good one. And maybe the Celtics should get into a fight before every single game this postseason. It seemed to work out well for them the first time.
The clock hits triple zeros. The Celtics get Gordon Hayward back. They get their swagger back. They get their game back, and they are back in the series. They win by a final of 117-106, and the Miami lead is cut to 2-1 with 4 long days to think about it.
Ooh. Yep, coming right out of the box with more aggression and purpose than we had seen in the previous 2 games. The Celtics finally put one in the win column in their series against the Heat, in which they still trail 2-1. And as we've learned, good things happen when Jaylen Brown is playing bully
Crowder
ball.
Challenged by Jaylen Brown, who jumps in the passing lane, has the steal. Jaylen Brown goes the distance and puts an exclamation point on what might very well be the game of his NBA life.
Man, has he stepped up, man, with money on the table.
Yeah, dude was pissed. That was awesome. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum combined for 51 points. Kemba Walker chipped in 21 as well. Marcus Smart had 20, but he didn't score it the way he recently had been. After attempting 19 three-pointers in the first 2 games, Smart just put up 2 in Game 3 and was more concentrating on facilitating with 6 assists. He also hit, obviously, some clutch free throws there at the end of the game. But what everyone wanted to see was the return of Gordon Hayward, and it was good to have him back. It's no coincidence that things just seemed to run smoother when Hayward was back. The numbers, 6 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists in 31 minutes, don't really jump off the page. But with Hayward on the floor, it was nice that Boston was able to tighten their rotation. It was less times from Wanamakers and even gave Tice a little bit of a break. They were also able to trot out some small ball lineups featuring their best players with Hayward out there. And with him there, they seemed to have no problem against Miami's zone, which had been giving them fits the first 2 games. It was just a good win. Hopefully one the team can build on. Here is Brad Stevens on the return of Gordon Hayward after the game.
Didn't expect to play him that much. Was Smart in some foul trouble at the end of the third. Tyson foul trouble. I thought he looked pretty good. We have 4 days off, so that's why they didn't say, like, we're just going to monitor him to see how he looks. He asked to come out a couple times. The wind caught up to him a couple times.
Yeah, and one of the best bits of news for the Celtics came on Saturday when it was announced that Gordon would indeed be staying in the bubble during his son's childbirth, something that he had previously said he was going to leave for, and here's Gordon kind of expanding on that afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously wasn't in the plan. Getting injured, going back to Indianapolis for treatment, you know, obviously I think a little bit lucky that Robin was there already in Indy, so I got a chance to be at home. You know, I think it's probably something that I'll be here. And, you know, by the time I get back, I might miss the birth, you know, if she just goes in and rushes into the hospital. So, you know, we discussed it, we prayed about it, and I think it's probably best if I stay here. And
it was a game, and it was a really good game, but it was a head scratcher at times too. Can you give me one good reason why, if you're Eric Spoelstra, you would have the best closer on your team sitting on the bench in the final minutes of that game with Jimmy Butler sitting there watching?
I think.
Can you give me one good reason?
The one reason, and I thought the same thing too, that made no sense to me. The one reason I came up with is he needed as many good three-point shooters on the floor as he could get. And that's one, of all the things Butler does, he's not a good three-point shooter.
Well, that's he's the only. Good, well, he's good in the threat. Way that he could go to the hoop and draw the foul.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's something that he's better than anybody on that team. He's one of the best guys in the league for that.
I know, but at that point of the game, with the Celtics up by so much, you know, 6-8, whatever, Miami never got closer than 5. You didn't want to risk getting 2 and then hoping for a foul. You wanted, you know, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and a lot of guys who can shoot threes. That's the only reason I can think of.
Here's Spoelstra. He was asked about it afterwards.
Eric, Jimmy was out at the end. Andre didn't play the second half. Is there an injury issue with them or just other factors?
No, we're just trying to get something quick, you know, right there at the end.
Thank you.
Spoelstra's a great coach. Coach, I got a little Steve Brule going. He's a great coach, but that was dumb. That's not smart because we know that he's a guy that can draw the foul so easily. And how many times has he done that? Just like, I mean, even if they had like a couple possessions left, he's going to get fouled. He draws the foul better than anybody.
I think you let him go. I think if you're the Celtics and you see Butler driving to the basket, you'd rather have Butler with a layup than Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero spotting up for a three at that point in the game. Now, during the game in general, no. Now, of course, you give the ball to Butler, he'll go to the basket, he'll get fouled, and he'll convert it. But there are no guarantees that happen. And you were saying there were some interesting moves by Spoelstra. With Gordon Hayward in there, and even with Gordon Hayward out of there, the Celtics did a great job against that zone, and Spoelstra refused to come out of it. I didn't understand that at all. He kept playing zone, and the Celtics kept building their lead. That's got to change for Miami. It has to. Because if they keep doing that, the Celtics are going to not only get right back into this series, they may win 3 games in a row. I mean, you can't do that.
This was kind of cool. So, you know, Dragic didn't look like he had in the first 2 games, and a lot of it was because, you know, they put Marcus Smart on him. And apparently, if you break down the times that Marcus Smart was on Dragic, he held him to 0 points on 0-for-2 field goals. So he couldn't get a shot off, and when he did, Marcus Smart was all up in his face, and he wasn't able to be the guy that he was in Game 1 and Game 2. It was a great game, and whether they can continue to go on that, and whether Gordon Hayward is the magic elixir, it just seems like things are a lot smoother, and as you said, John, the zone problems that they were having in the first 2 games seem non-existent after once he showed up.
You know what else? The Celtics have been the better team in all 3 games. And you were talking about Grandy stats. Grandy tweeted out a stat after the game because a random follower asked him. The Celtics have had the lead for 75% of the 3 games. I mean, and they're down 2-1.
Well,
they're clearly the better team.
The difference Saturday was that they held on and they didn't, you know, allow Miami to have that push. I mean, it wasn't entirely dissimilar to the first 2 games. It's just that they hung on and they played well in the 3rd quarter. All right, Rich, you know who that Miami could have used last night?
They probably could have used
Mr. Unlimited.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rich.
Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
Yes. Him and Slater were out last night playing jacks. All right, what do we got coming up, Rich?
You know what? Let's do a Tom Brady check. How about that? It's almost like you have 2 home games every week when you have Tom Brady down there in Tampa Bay with their home opener.
And we'll also do a hot mom check-in as well. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Oh, you know, Tom Brady, he ended up doing all right. On the Brady versus Belichick scoreboard, I guess Tom evens the score. He was fine against a bad team, but it was enough to beat the Panthers 31-17. Brady finished 23 of 35, 217 yards, but he did have an interception because he and Gronk couldn't get on the same page in the red zone. It's also not his fault that some of his passes were met with stone hands. Not a good job. Leonard Fournette, he's fitting in just fine. Had 103 yards and 2 touchdowns, 12 attempts. It was kind of funny. He was asked about Tom Brady afterwards, and he goes, "Tom's hard on me, and he expects a lot out of me. I expect a lot out of his ass." That's what he said, too. So...
That looks like kind of a fun environment over there in that locker room.
Always. And was never given the ball again.
Yeah.
I expect a lot out of his
always,
ass.
Always, always ass. And, you
always,
know, that,
always ass.
That's the thing, though. You watched that game yesterday, and, boy, they sure could have used a Cam Newton, the Panthers there. That is not a good scene down there. And a day of a million injuries, we got another big one. Christian McCaffrey, he suffered an ankle injury. He's going to be reevaluated this morning. But, I mean, all over the league. I mean, we'll get into it later on. But, I mean,
the Jets took advantage.
Well, the Jets are getting killed right now.
The 49ers, in about four plays in a row, lost everybody in
Bosa, Mostert, Garoppolo. He's going to be out for a while.
Solomon Thomas, their number one pick from 3 years ago, the guy who was going to step in for Bosa. He went down the next play.
Yes. So afterwards, and I'll have the clip later on, but Kyle Shanahan went off. He said that the conditions of the field at MetLife were trash.
Well, guess what they get to do again next week? They get to play there right again. They play the Giants.
Oh really? Oh, it's really they're just going to stick around in New York and play.
I don't have any idea what they're doing, but they play New York. They play the Giants next week, this week. So have fun with your sticky field. And by the way, they had a bunch of injuries their first game at home. So there's injuries all over the league. It's no preseason, probably.
I mean, you had Saquon Barkley. I mean, there was a ton of people all over the league. And the field thing, you know, to be honest, I only watched some highlights on that. And I couldn't tell, Fred. Did you see, like, guys sliding all around? I mean,
I guess it was sticky. No, what I saw was just the 49ers looked pretty good to me. Didn't see the field.
They lost seven guys, and they had no trouble with the Jets.
It didn't seem like it was bothering them. They were running all over the place.
Didn't have Kittle to begin the game.
No.
Didn't matter.
No. They seemed to be doing just fine. They were having the time of their lives. There was nothing wrong in terms of what was going on with them. Lord knows they had like a third and 31 in their own end and had a nice little handoff up the middle that went for about 45.
That so was
good
awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It's fun to watch. It's a lot of fun.
First play of the game, too. Bang, bang.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Pretty good team over there. Adam Gase has really got it going on. Yeah, this Mostert fella.
Mostert.
He had quite a little game.
And then got injured. And I don't even know what the status on him is going to be. I think they're going to update you on most of these guys. The one thing that does kind of stink is that if Garoppolo, I think he had a high ankle sprain, and usually it's like 4 to 6 weeks to come back, he might miss the Patriots game. So you might not see Garoppolo versus the Patriots.
Those idiots kept him in the game when they were obviously not going to lose, and they kept Garoppolo in throughout the first half, and he couldn't put any pressure on his leg.
Yeah, he was limping badly.
Yes.
Still in there.
Yeah. I don't have any idea why. I mean, every time, and they were hitting him a lot
because
he couldn't get away. But, I mean, he still, you know, had 199, quarterback rating. It didn't really slow him down. All right, no commercials here, just that line, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.